Thank you very much. Brigitte and I are both very happy to be with you this morning. Last time we were here, it was 4 years ago, and it was Palm Sunday. So I thought I would just preach the same message as 4 years ago. But I'm sure all of you remember it off by heart, every word I said, so I've got another message. Anyway, we're very happy to be here, and what we're going to do is we're going to show a film that our daughter made based on our photos, a film that will last 14 minutes. Then after that, I'll come back up here and speak, give a message based on the Word of God. But beforehand, just singing that song, I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Last year, on French television, there was a an advert for a well-known make of cars. And the music was, I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. And then they didn't put the last verse, the last line on, of course. But the idea was having the joy, joy because of driving this wonderful car. It was so powerful that I can't remember what kind of car it was. And the second thing about that song was I learned it when I was a wee boy. And one verse particularly I did not like. It was the verse, I've got the peace that passes understanding. And I didn't like that for two reasons. Because one reason was I had a terrible stutter. And the other reason was I had a lisp. So when you say, I've got the peace that passes understanding, you understand. And I spat on the head of the person in front of me. So I have bad memories of that verse in particular. But anyway, it's good to know that we've got joy and that we've got peace because of Jesus. That's vitally important. So thank you very much, Vanessa, our IT expert. Thank you. Thank you. Brigitte and I will stand at the door at the end of the service, so if you have any questions, if they're difficult, ask Brigitte. If they're simple, ask me. And we just think the computer is going to come here, or do you want to?
I thought I'm coming to you, sorry.
You're coming to you? Okay, right. Will that be able to sit there?
Excuse this, will be 2 seconds.
This is live TV.
Right, and I'll just turn you on. Sorry.
Tremendous, thank you. Great, thank you, Vanessa. On the 1st of January, I decided to read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, over the period of a few weeks, and to find out two specific things. I made a list of all the questions that Jesus was asked. And I made a list of all the questions that Jesus asked people. 4 Gospels, 6 weeks, just going through them slowly, and I made a list of every question. Now, can you guess how many questions Jesus was asked? Give me a figure. No, not that one, no. Well, Jesus was asked 128 questions, and he asked 253. Now, of course, some questions you find twice or three times in the Gospels. But that's for the list I made. And I made a list of, I wrote them down, and I thought, well, what, you know, how do these questions concern me in Europe in 2023? The majority of the questions that people asked Jesus were asked by two groups of people. The religious leaders, who often ask questions to trap Jesus, to make him say something that would bring him to court. And the other group that asked a lot of questions were, of course, Jesus' disciples. What I like to think of this morning is some of the questions that Jesus asked. I won't go through the whole 253, otherwise we'll be here until Easter Sunday. But Jesus asked some women some important personal questions. I think of the mother of James and John in the Gospels. Jesus said, "What do you want?" An interesting question. The mother of James and John said, "This is what I want." And Jesus did not give her what she wanted. It was like a prayer, and God said no. Jesus asked his own mother a similar question during a wedding ceremony, a marriage in Cana in Galilee. "What do you want?" And then Jesus did what she wanted. When Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me or she who believes in me will not perish but will have everlasting life," he turned around to another lady and said, "Do you believe this?" Do we believe what Jesus said? She had difficulty. Then when she saw her brother Lazarus come back to life, then she realized that this man Jesus is not an ordinary man. He is someone special. He is the Son of God. Then Jesus asked different people who he met all kinds of questions. To two blind beggars, he said, "What do you want me to do for you?" Personal, powerful question. And the two blind beggars said, "We want to see." And that time, Jesus gave them what they wanted. He said no to James and John's mother, but he said yes to these two people. I wonder if Jesus asked you the same question this morning. "What do you want me to do for you?" What would you say to him? Now, don't answer out loud, but what would you say to him? Perhaps some people would say, "Oh, I'd like to enjoy better health." "Oh, I'd like to have more money." Or, "I'd like to have a family, a happier family life." Or, "Have more joy in going to work." Some people may say, "Oh, I'm so old and tired, I just want to be with the Lord." We know a lady, 102 years old, converted for maybe 90 odd years. And she said to her nephew the other day in a care home not far from here, "I just want to be with the Lord." 102. We can appreciate her desire to go. But her time has not yet come. Another question that Jesus asked some religious leaders is this one. "Why do you entertain evil thoughts in your heart?" Religious leaders? Evil thoughts? You know, the Lord Jesus can see every heart, your heart. He can see your thoughts. I don't know how you can see a thought, but Jesus sees our thoughts. I wonder what your thoughts are this morning about life, about being here in this church, about Easter week. Evil thoughts or thoughts that have no value. Another day, Jesus said to a crowd, "Why do you worry?" That's a good question. He even said, "Can any of you by worrying add a single hour to his or her life?" Now, I'm not a doctor, but of course we know that worry can actually shorten one's life instead of making it longer. Why do you worry? If you're a Christian, why do you have sleepless nights because of worry? A question that only you can answer. Why do you worry? Another question Jesus asked to a group of people, "Have you never read what the law says?" This question we find 6 or 7 times in the Gospels, where Jesus says to people who should have known the Bible, "Well, have you not read? Do you not know what the Bible says?" And now and again, because we are involved in an itinerant ministry, we visit different churches, we meet up with all different kinds of French Christians, and sometimes we realize that people, Christians, who've been Christians for years, do not know the Bible very well. Christians who don't read the Bible apart from Sunday because someone up here is going to read it for us. How well do you know your Bible? A few months ago I was asked to preach on the Christian and his attitude towards money in a church in the south of France. And to introduce my message, I had a list of 12 well-known expressions in French all about money. And so I thought, okay, I'll give half of the phrase and let the people give the last word or the last half of the phrase. For example, money doesn't grow on. Yeah. Throwing money out of the... Oh, maybe that's a French expression. Window. Yes, someone... At least one person here has a brain. Thank you very much. Throwing money out the window. So I did that for about 12 expressions. And everybody answered. And then I said to them, if I did the same with Bible verses, if I quoted half of a Bible verse, would you all be able to quote the other half? Silence. Nobody answered. But it's good, but it's important to know, well, how well do I know the Bible? Because that's something that Jesus wanted people to know. Have you not read, or have you forgotten what the Bible says? Then Jesus asked his disciples all different kinds of questions. Are you still so dumb? Can you imagine that in the NIV? I'm not inventing anything. So I looked at my French Bible the other day to see, well, how do you translate dumb in French? Now, my wife, I know how, we know how to translate dumb in French. But in the French version, Jesus is much more polite. And he says, why are you not intelligent? Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? Interesting, that word, still. Do you have no faith? But after all this time I've been with you, Jesus says to his disciples, do you still have no faith? After all he's done, after all he's said. Another question. Why are you sleeping? Jesus asked his disciples to pray. And instead of praying, they decided to sleep. Now, it's not a sin to sleep. Unless it's during a time when I'm preaching. It's not a sin to sleep. But if Jesus asks us to pray or to do something else, and if we prefer to sleep, then there's a problem. And the Lord Jesus will come and say, why are you sleeping instead of ... doing something for me? Sleeping and having no faith. The two last questions are very simple as well. Jesus said on the night that he was betrayed and arrested, which was a few hours before dying on the cross, he washed his disciples' feet and said, do you not understand what I have done for you? Interesting. The disciples didn't fully understand why Jesus, the Son of God, washed their feet. We do not fully understand why he did that. He was humble. He was a servant. He wanted to give an example to his disciples. But if Jesus said to us this morning, do you not understand what I have done for you on dying on the cross? On suffering and on bearing the wrath of God in for you? And we have to be honest, we don't fully understand. Why did Jesus come for a sinner like me? For sinners like you? We don't fully understand. But we can be grateful. Grateful that he did that. That he left his glory. That he came to Bethlehem, to Nazareth, to Galilee, to Jerusalem, to Gethsemane, to Golgotha, to the tomb, and back up to glory. We don't understand, but we can be grateful that he did do that. He came, he saved us, he's washed us, he's adopted us, he's loved us, and he keeps us in his hand. Let me tell you about a young man, mid-30s. He had a difficult upbringing, but very intelligent, and got a good degree, and he went to live in another country. He'd already lived in France, he'd lived in Cameroon, and then he went to another European country. Had a great job, loads of money, nice girl, nice partner, everything was going well, until February 2022. His country was invaded, because he was in Ukraine. So he had to leave Ukraine with his partner, and they ended up in Lille, the town where we live. And he ended up coming to church. He had no more money, no more job, no more house, no more nothing. So after a few weeks, his partner said, I'm going back to Ukraine. It's better over there than being here with you and you've got nothing. That's true love, isn't it? Anyway, that's another thing. That's another subject. So he was alone. And little by little, he just went downhill. And then he started to come to our church. And after a few weeks, he asked to meet two elders. And he said, no, I've got problems. I feel a sinner. How can I get right with God? That's a good question that elders love people to ask. And the two elders listened to him, spoke with him, read a few Bible verses. And he came to faith in Christ. And he was baptized in January of this year after going through a discipleship course that the church organises for each person who wants to be baptised. He was a man who didn't understand much about Christ, but little by little, he understood that Jesus died for his sins, and that he could have love, joy and peace in his heart through faith in Christ. Do we all understand what Christ has done for us? And the last question, who do you say I am? Twice in Matthew 16, Jesus asks this question. Who is Jesus according to you? Probably one of the most important questions Jesus asked. Who am I? What we say or what we think as regards the answer to this question is literally a question of life and death. Do we really realize that Jesus is the Son of God, the Messiah, the prophet, priest and king that we talk about and we read about in the Old Testament? Who is Jesus? And what have we done for Jesus? A few years ago, I was introduced to a Roman Catholic priest in Brittany, and we talked, and he said to me, Mr. Sutherland, I think he called me David. Anyway, he said, do you know what question God will ask you when you die? So I said, well, tell me what you think. And he said, he will ask you, what have you done for your fellow man? For other people? And I said, well, I don't think God will ask me that question, or that won't be the first question. I think he'll ask me, first of all, who do you say Jesus is? And secondly, what have you done for him? Of course, he was thinking, well, what have I done for my fellow people? Well, that means that if I've done good, then I'll gain the right to go to heaven. And I wanted him to realize that it's not the good we've done because we're so evil in ourselves, but we need to say, who is Jesus for me? Is he my Lord? Is he my Saviour? Do I trust in him with all my heart? And if he is, then what am I doing for him? Am I sleeping? Am I wasting my time? Or am I doing something for him in the local church, in whatever circumstances we find ourselves? So, if the Lord Jesus asked you some personal questions today, how would you answer him? And if you want to ask Jesus some questions, feel free. But please be willing to accept his answers. He may say no. He may say yes. He may say wait. May the Lord help us to ask the right questions and to give the right answers to the Lord when he asks us questions. Let's just have a word of prayer. Gracious Father, we thank you for sending the Lord Jesus. We thank you for these wonderful Gospels which contain so many questions. We ask you to help us to answer the questions that you would ask us even today, or tomorrow, or next week. Help us to be honest with you, because you see our hearts and we cannot hide anything from God Almighty. And we ask you to help us, if we have questions, to ask you them and to seek answers in your word and through reading and spending time thinking about the scriptures. We thank you that you are a God who speaks. We thank you that you are a God who listens. And we bring our prayer and our worship in Jesus' name. Amen.